in today's meeting, Jesus heals a blind man, and yet this is about so much more than restoring physical sight. This is about spiritual sight. I don't want anyone to get me wrong. This is no parable. Jesus really met this man. He really was blind. Jesus gave him sight. A true miracle occurred. And yet it is more, the bigger miracle is in the spiritual sight this man received. In a world with no agendas, a world with no egos, in a world where people don't think they have to control and coerce and command others, this would have been a truly joyous occasion. It was certainly joyous for the man who was given the gift of sight, but that joy was clouded by controversy and accusations and hatred. This man had been blind since birth, and he's an adult now. And we don't know how old he is, but he's at least 20 years old, probably, if not older, and he's lived in utter darkness that entire time. He's never seen his mother's face. He can't put the colors of a bird to the song it sings, or marvel at the silent beauty of a butterfly. And though he surely felt the heat of the sun, he's never witnessed the sunrise bursting over the horizon or the soft oranges and pinks as it sets for the night. Maybe you've seen videos of infants and children with vision problems when they are fitted with glasses for the first time and they can see their parents clearly for the very first time, and this smile of joy covers their entire face. Or the children with hearing problems that by some form of implant have been, then they're able to hear their parents' voice for the first time and they break out laughing. That's the joy that should have accompanied this man as he became seeing. But those who sought to destroy Jesus made that a little more difficult while inadvertently opening this man up to a joy that is even greater than his physical sight. Before we receive Jesus, we are all in spiritual darkness. Paul talked about the law of Moses being a veil that covered the hearts of the Jews, keeping them from recognizing Jesus as Messiah. That law should have pointed them to Jesus, but they refused to see it as God intended. And so in 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. He says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. We only get our sight through Jesus. John Newton, he used to be a slave trader, and he described his own life as, his quote was, I sinned with a high hand and made it my study to tempt and seduce others. During a particularly severe storm during which one sailor had already been washed overboard and Newton was sure he wouldn't survive to see morning, he prayed to God and he gave his life to Christ. He didn't give up the slave trade right away. There would be times of backsliding, but eventually he became an Anglican minister. And Newton understood the difference between spiritual insight before and after salvation. It is he who wrote the lyrics, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. From the beloved hymn, Amazing Grace. We all have something that keeps us in darkness until we receive Jesus. Something that we have placed on the throne of our hearts. And it may be as simple as serving self instead of serving God. If you live for pleasure and entertainment and money and power, then you're blind. If you live for, you can be even a good person by the world standards. You can be a good person by the world standards and still be spiritually blind. You may have your family on the throne of your heart. And family is a great thing. God created the family. But family is not first. God is first, God sits on the throne. And so this man had his eyes open today, but if it had ended there, he may have ended up seeing, but in hell. And instead, Jesus pursued him, and his spiritual eyes were also opened, and he saw the reality that we need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. And so thinking of graduates today, you know, some graduates go into the workforce, some will go to college or some other kind of further education. I think trade school is awesome. And some will go into the military. Wherever you go, people are going to try to turn you to their version of truth. And this happens to all of us throughout life. But the elite see young minds as more moldable, which is interesting because the Bible tells us not to let our minds be conformed to this world, but that they should be transformed by God. Your best life will be when you turn to the truth of God's word. The best way to live and the only way to die is to give yourself to the one who is truth, that's Jesus Christ. And he will truly open your eyes, and meeting him will change the way you live. And so here are some ways having your eyes opened by the Lord should cause you to live. A person whose eyes are opened by meeting Jesus will look at everything through the light of Jesus. Come on. Well, it worked for a little while, didn't it? Okay. Jesus is still, now let me see if it will, well, I don't know. You can unplug me and plug me back in and see if it works again. We'll go there. So, Jesus is still teaching his apostles, and they didn't understand it all yet. They didn't understand Jesus' ways. They're still trying to figure it all out. They come upon this blind man. They ask Jesus, who sinned to cause him to be born blind, him or his parents? Now, to us, this sounds dumb. Okay, how do you sin before you're born? So that you are born with the punishment for your sin. And yet, one of the Jewish thoughts of that day, it's not a biblical thought, okay, but it is a Jewish thought of that day, is it was possible to sin in utero. And the rabbis taught that Esau sinned against Jacob while they were still in the womb. Okay? There are some other reasons they might think about that, but Jesus just said neither. Neither sin. This happened so the works of God can be seen in him. And Jesus isn't saying he was born blind and been made to live that way for decades just so God could do a trick. Okay? But because this happened, God's glory is going to be shown. Bad things happen because we live in a sinful, fallen world. There is real good and real evil in this world. There is real truth and real falsehood. And when bad things happen in this life, it's not evidence against the existence of God. It's not evidence against the power of God. And it doesn't prove that God doesn't love you. It does show that darkness has come into this world through sin and through Satan. And that this fallenness, which God has allowed, is so his light can shine through it. And in this case, Jesus is, I think he's just simply saying, instead of worrying about how he got that way, let's think about what we can do for him. Christian, when we're born again, we should be born with new eyes. And the way we look at people changes. The way we look at everything changes. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity. Hey, there we go. I'm doing it again. I'm in control. I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Every worldview and philosophy is looked at, should be looked at through the lens of Jesus. Every person we see, we shouldn't see them. It's not black and white, Asian and Hispanic, it is a soul that Jesus died for. Someone that has either received Jesus or needs to receive Jesus. That's every single person in the world. Either they've received Jesus or they need to receive Jesus. I think that's how God looks at them. Okay? We seek to serve God, and through that we have our compassion for all people. To be Jesus, either, again, for the people of God's family or the people who should be or we want to be or need to be in God's family. It's for everyone. And you can't separate Christianity from the secular if you are a Jesus follower. You can't be a Christian on Sunday and something else the rest of the week. The way you do your job, the way you compete, the way you raise a family, the way you participate in community is all done by looking at the world through the light of Jesus. Now, as gross as this sounds, saliva being used to heal, I mean, most of us are going, oh. Again, the Jews thought that saliva had a healing aspect to it. And I expect the blind man, okay, his hearing strengthened by years of darkness, hears Jesus spit, feels the mud on his eyes. He's putting two and two together. Okay? It's like, oh, he just put spit mud on my eyes. But this is a man that probably begged at the gates of the temple for years. He has probably heard Jesus teach. He may recognize Jesus' voice. If you were begging at the temple gates, you were hoping on people's generosity as they were coming to worship God. And all the times that people would have come through there, and some given and some not, and yet there would have been Jesus' voice, teaching some, refuting Pharisees, arguing with the Pharisees, talking about the kingdom of God. And so this voice says, go to the pool of Siloam and wash the mud off. And the man did that. And he came back seeing. He got his sight. And the next thing we see is the man is confronted by his neighbors. And so we figure, okay, he went home. Wouldn't you go home? Wouldn't you go home if this happened to you and show your family? Wouldn't you be excited? Wouldn't you want to share that joy with people, those who know you best? And so the second thing I want us to know is a person whose eyes are opened by meeting Jesus will let the world see your transformed life. The man goes home so people can see the change, and his neighbors argue if it's even him or not. You know, we get used to seeing people in places sometimes, and in certain situations, in certain contexts. And so if I saw, for instance, if I saw my dentist that I see like twice a year, if I saw him at Home Depot, I would probably go, I think that's my dentist. But I'm not so sure that I'm going to go say hi, you know. And so they're seeing this neighbor of theirs who's had his sight restored, but the context is, no, our neighbor's a blind man. So that can't be him. And some of them are saying, no, it's him. It's him. And they're saying, no, that's not him. It can't be him because he is seeing. And so finally he just says, I'm the guy. It's me. It is me. I can see now. How are your eyes opened? And he says, a man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed and I received my sight. You know, he recognized authority in Jesus. He obeyed the simple command to go and wash. I think, what's your initial reaction going to be if someone puts that on your eyes? Is maybe just to wipe it off right there. But there's something about Jesus' voice, I think. He just caught the authority there. He obeyed that simple command. It reminds me of Naaman in the Old Testament, the story of Naaman. And he was a Syrian, very powerful Syrian, and he had leprosy. And he goes to see, he says, well, his servant said, there's a man in Judah, in Israel, that he's named as Elisha, and he's healed people. He might be able to heal you. And so he goes with all these gifts to Elisha, and he goes to meet Elisha, and the servant goes to the door, and Elisha won't even come out to see him. He just says, go tell him to wash in the Jordan River, dip in it seven times, and he'll be healed. And Naaman's like I don't know. I don't want to say his feelings are hurt, because it's more than that. He's mad, because, I mean, he's Naaman, and the guy wouldn't even come out to see him. And the Jordan River, it's a nasty river. Our rivers in Damascus are better than that river. Why would I do that? And finally, his servant said, you know, it's a pretty simple thing. Why don't you just try it? And he did it. And he came up that seventh time, and his skin was restored. It's a simple thing. You don't have to go on a treacherous journey over hazardous terrain through various evil forces and throw a ring at Mount Doom to be saved. Okay? Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. It's pretty simple. We just need to believe in Jesus. We need to confess him before others. We need to repent of our sins and be baptized. Those are not difficult things to do, except we make them difficult because we don't want to, or we worry about what somebody else will think of us, or we don't want to be embarrassed, or we don't want to be known as a radical Bible thumper, and we set up our own boundaries for salvation when it's a simple thing to come to faith. 1 John 5 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It's not a hard thing. Now the neighbors are not content to rejoice with this man who did the simple thing, went and washed, and got healed of blindness. They take him to the Pharisees. The Pharisees don't like Jesus. Well, because he's Jesus. He stands for something. Pretty much the same reason people don't like him today. The Pharisees have been trying to do everything they can to take Jesus down. Well, this day is the Sabbath. And that means that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and he made mud on a Sabbath. And he can't do that. The scriptures don't say he can't do that. But the Jewish rules, the Pharisees' written own oral code says they couldn't do that. Their traditions. And so they interrogate the once blind man so they can find fault with Jesus. And even the Pharisees were divided. Some of them said, well, this guy can't be from God because he healed on the Sabbath. And others say, yeah, but if he were a sinner, he couldn't do a miracle like that. So they came back to the once blind man. I wish this guy had a name, because that would just make my job a lot more easier up here. What do you think? And he said, well, he's a prophet. We got to find some way to destroy Jesus. And so they call the man's parents. How can we discredit Jesus? How can we discredit this man? See, with the parents, if the man was an imposter, the parents would say, well, no, that's not our son. Or if he wasn't born blind, then they could say, well, then it wasn't a miracle. Or it wasn't as big of a miracle. But the parents are like, no, that's our son. And yes, he was born blind. They didn't give the answer the Pharisees wanted. Then they said, as for who opened his eyes, oh, we don't know. Ask him. He's old enough. He can legally answer for himself. Surely he's already told his parents what had happened. I would think that would be the first people he would tell. Why would they perhaps lie and throw it back on their son? And I think the next verse explains it all. It says they said these things because they feared the Jews. The Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. This is exactly where we are in the world today, folks. There are self-appointed Pharisees who want to control your thoughts and words and actions. And if you don't agree with them, if you don't think the way they think, if you don't celebrate the things they celebrate, if you don't accept their version of truth, they will kick you off of whatever platform you're on, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. They will try to get you fired. They will attempt to publicly shame you. It is called the cancel culture. And we don't want to belittle anyone's heritage in the kingdom of God. It's your soul that matters, right? That's the way I read the scriptures. Souls don't have melanin. We love people no matter what. And when you dig deep into some of these critical theories that are out there today, intersectionality that ties in with social justice, it is an anti-Christian worldview. It is not the way Christians should think. It is at odds with the teachings of Jesus. And it views Christianity as the oppressor. The gospel of Jesus is what brings real freedom today. And so if you don't agree that there are 157 genders, then there are a lot of powerful people that if you make enough noise, they will try to cancel you. And yet Jesus said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? When you meet Jesus, he opens your eyes to the truth of the gospel. And that should change your entire worldview. Your life is changed. Your thinking is changed and transformed. The way you look at the world around you is informed by the Gospels. The culture just wants you to keep your faith in Jesus to yourself. And it's that simple. The world wants to tell you what to think. The Lord wants to teach you how to think biblically. God gave you your mind. He's not afraid of honest thinking because honest, unclouded thinking leads to him. It's like God said in Isaiah, he said, let us reason together. It's like if you think about this, you'll agree, you'll figure this out. Your sins are like scarlet. I can make them as white as snow. Like pure wool. And so as parents, they're afraid of being canceled first century style. They told the Pharisees, ask him, he's old enough to answer for himself. They interrogate the man again, formerly a beggar as of that morning, likely uneducated due to his blindness, and he doesn't back down in the face of these educated, powerful religious leaders. The third thing we need to see is a person whose eyes are opened by Jesus will bring the knowledge of Jesus to a spiritually blind world. Pharisees said, give glory to God. We know this man's a sinner. By saying that, they're saying, this guy Jesus is not God. We know he's a sinner. You give glory to God instead. Denounce Jesus. And the man just said, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see. I love that. He's humble. He's honest. He doesn't know everything. He says, I don't have it all figured out, but I know this. I was blind. I've never seen so much as a ray of light. He literally changed my life. I don't fully understand the argument you have against him. I don't know why you won't believe in him, but I know that I can see. Your story is the best thing you have to tell to other people about Jesus. You don't have to have all the doctrine figured out, but tell them why you believe. Tell them what Jesus has done for you, how he gave you peace when you shouldn't have been at peace. Again, this doesn't mean that you're perfectly joyful or perfectly serene all the time. Do we freak out sometimes? Yeah, sure we do. Your story in Jesus doesn't make you perfect, but it shows you trust a perfect Savior. We don't have to understand everything if we trust Jesus. I'm not saying live in ignorance either. I'm saying some things we just believe because God's word says so. The once blind man, and I love the way he turns the tables on the Pharisees. What did he say to you? How did he open your eyes? He said, I told you that already. You wouldn't listen. Do you want to hear it again? He says, do you want to become disciples too? It's like the woman at the well. He said, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. It's like Andrew who went to his brother Peter. We found the Messiah and they brought him to Christ. Do you want to be a disciple too? We need to be looking for those we can introduce to Jesus. The Pharisees, maybe they realized they were getting needled. They get angrier. Oh, we follow Moses. We don't even know where this guy comes from. And the man answered, that's an amazing thing. That blows my mind. You don't even know where he comes from, but he opened my eyes. We know God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone's a worshiper of God, he hears them and he does his will. God listens. Never since the world began has it been that a man born blind has regained his sight. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And the blind man's made his case why they should follow Jesus. But in another part of scriptures, Jesus calls Pharisees blind guides. He says, let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind leads the blind, they both will fall into a pit. See, if you follow the worldly crowd, it's going to lead you away from Jesus. That's where you will end up. You may get all kinds of praise from worldly scholars and ooh, you agreed with celebrities and sports heroes, but you end up in a pit where you enter eternity unless you change your mind and follow Christ. He wouldn't bow to their pressure, so they tried to destroy him. They said to the man, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? Now, that's an ad hominem attack, which I think literally in Latin it means to the man. And so what they're doing, instead of attacking his argument and refuting him, they just attack him. Oh, you're just a sinner. People do that today. And so they threw him out of the synagogue. Okay, you can't be on Facebook anymore. That's a big deal to be thrown out of the synagogue. That's their society. That is their culture. That is their religion. That is family and business that were all tied into your standing in the synagogue. And Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and they found him. He said, do you believe in the Son of Man? The Son of Man is the term John used most for Messiah. To this point, he isn't quite sure who Jesus is, but he trusts him. He gave him his sight. It's the first time he's actually seen Jesus now. But he surely recognized his voice. And he's ready to follow Jesus wherever he went. And he says, who is he, sir? Who is he? Who is he that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have seen him. The man who couldn't even see that morning, you have seen him, and he is speaking to you. The man's tried to tell his neighbors about Jesus. His neighbors turned him over to the Pharisees. His parents threw him under the bus. He got thrown out of the synagogue. I don't think he cares about being thrown out of the synagogue. He's been an outcast all his life. But that's who Jesus came for. Jesus once said, it's not the well who need a physician, it is the sick. And I came to seek and to save the lost, to heal the sick. And Jesus' point is that if you think you're okay, and you think you have it all together, if you think you don't need me, fine, then I didn't come for you. But if you're broken, if you're needy, and if you're desperate, and you'll just admit it, come lay your burdens down at my feet, and I'll fix you. I'll fix what matters. I came to seek and to save the lost. The man who had been blind responds the way we all should. A person whose eyes are opened by meeting Jesus will be an unashamed worshiper of Jesus. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. In this blind man's thinking, Jesus went from a man to a prophet to Lord, all in one day. Before the day was over, this man's thinking was radically changed by Jesus. That's what Jesus does. He is in the business of changing us. And he worshiped. And worship is more than 1 hour of activity on Sunday morning. It is a lifestyle. It is a mindset. Look at God's creation and worship him. Wake up in the morning and worship him. Look at your kids and worship God. God is good, and he is great, and he is worthy of our praise. And he spent his own life to save us from our sins. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Father's given all judgment to the Son. Jesus' purpose in coming to earth the first time was to save the world. When he returns, he will execute judgment. But his words, while he walked on this earth that we still have today, they bring judgment upon all those who reject him. Some of the Pharisees near heard him and said, are you saying we're blind? And Jesus basically said, if you were really blind, if you lacked God's word, if you didn't have the Old Testament, if you were just ignorant, I couldn't hold you responsible. But because you say you have all the answers, you're guilty. He condemns their arrogance. And their arrogance will keep them from seeing the truth. It is those who come to Jesus, admitting they're blind, who will receive spiritual insight. But those who rely on their own worldly wisdom and their own enlightenment, they're going to remain blind. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. These are good rules for life. People are always going to pressure you that they have the right answers. But if those answers don't include the gospel, then they're just blind guides leading you to a blind worldview. Look at what they worship. Look at what holds sway in their hearts. And if it isn't Jesus, they're blind guides. If you want to make a difference, not just in this life, but for eternity, look at the world through the light of Christ. Let the world see your life transformed by Him. Bring the knowledge of Him to a spiritually blind world and let them see you worship unashamedly. Some will choose to remain in darkness, but some will notice your light, that you reflect the light of Jesus, and they will see and they will be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent us Jesus, the light of the world. That in him was life, and that life was and is the light of men. Teach us to see everything as he does. Give us the courage to live that way in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.